So today we are talking about courage again. The teaching team has been going over recently sort of what are the talks that we want to have in the series, sort of what do we want to talk about regarding courage. And I'm actually really excited about this series on courage. I'm really excited about it mainly because I feel like a lot of what God has been teaching me lately involves living a life of courage for him. But at the same time, I'm sort of like, I don't know what that means just yet. So when we had this teaching team meeting a couple weeks ago, we were, you know, batting around the ideas and that sort of thing. And in my head, as often happens, I'm sort of having my own little conversation. Not a monologue, it's really more like a conversation because I interrupt myself a lot when I'm talking. But I was thinking, you know, it's great that we're having this series on courage, but I'm not sure I really know what courage is. You know when you're staring at a word for too long and you're like, ah, that doesn't look right anymore. Like it's there, the word T-H-E-R-E, and you're like, oh, nope, that's not how you spell that. I'm sure there's another E in there somewhere or something like that. So that was sort of what was going on with me in courage, where I was like, ah, I don't know what it is anymore. And I was also thinking, if I'm sitting there listening to a series on courage, and, you know, I'm kind of a bold person, like, I talk loudly sometimes, like right now, but at the same time, I don't call myself courageous. In fact, if you were to talk to me, like, 45 minutes ago, I would have been like, oh, okay, can I, like, run and hide? I don't really have a talk to give anymore, that I don't consider myself to be courageous. So the question then becomes, this is all in my mind at the teaching team meeting. I was paying attention, I promise. You know, where can I get courage? So what is courage? Where do I get it? And then sort of after that, how do I use it once I have courage? So that was sort of what was happening during the teaching team meeting. And of course, I shared these ideas and it was like, Liz, what an excellent talk that you should give. And initially in my gut, I was like, no, not me, not this talk. Because I knew that it was going to confront and sort of upend courage in my life and what it means to be courage and how I knew myself and how I know God. But at the same time, now that I've sort of started to work out all of those things, I'm really excited to be talking to you about courage today. Further, I'm actually going to pray. I told you I interrupt myself a lot. This is one of those times. So let's pray. God, we thank you for this time to meet with you. And we invite you to meet with us. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you fill my mouth with words? And would you minister to our hearts that we might leave here courageous in you? In Jesus' name, amen. So, a few weeks ago, Matt started off this series with a talk on identity. That we, because we have been loved, we can be courageous. That there's no longer any fear of failure because we know that we are loved and changed by God. That's sort of like the basis. And I'm going to come back to that more and more. But what I've been learning, the reason why I'm excited about this, is because what I've been learning about my faith is that I used to think that it was sort of a static thing, by which I mean like I just had it or I didn't at a certain time in the day. And I didn't think of it as sort of this ongoing understanding of who I am and who God is. I didn't think that faith really involved courage. Now I think an entirely different thing. But I didn't think that faith involved courage, mainly because if you have courage, the implication is that you kind of have to use it. And I was sort of comfortable just, you know, hanging out on my couch watching episodes of 30 Rock. I didn't want to, you know, do courageous things for God. But what I'm coming to see, what I'm coming to test, too, is that living a life of faith for and with God means being able to risk for and with God, which means a changed life for me and a changed understanding of who God is. And I've really seen God be like, yes, this is a good thing. Keep doing this. But if I am to think of someone who is courageous, my first sort of like go-to guy is not... end of show. Well, I'm going to keep talking because I'm going to talk. actually the cowardly lion. It's not, you know, some guy jumping off of a cliff, which is our picture of courage. But it's the cowardly lion, and I'm not entirely sure
God, no matter where that is. So I also decided, hopefully it will not be end of show, hooray, that I should look up a definition of courage. I really like words. So I thought I'd look up a definition, and I found this one in a Psychology Today article, which said that courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., despite anxiety or fear. Despite anxiety or fear. Now, this was a different definition than I had found in other places, where it usually says in the face of fear, or is fearless. Oftentimes, we use the word fearless as a synonym for courageous. And in the course of this article, the author argues that if one doesn't experience anxiety or fear in doing something, then that thing is easy, which actually means that it doesn't require courage or bravery at all. So that in order to act courageously, it actually has to be in the face of fear. And that we have this misconception that when we're afraid or anxious, that means that we're weak and we're cowardly. That if we're afraid of something, then that means like, oh, we've already messed up. There's no way to go from here. But instead, that I think with the power of God, because I think that God operates under this definition, that as we partner with God, it actually means that we're not defined by our fear, but we're defined by our courage. It means that we can act despite of our fear and anxiety. That we might feel like we're weak or cowardly, but actually that's not what's true about us. Because going back to what Matt said a few weeks ago, what's true about us is that we are loved by God. They were loved by God, and that cannot be changed. So actually, this definition enables us to be courageous instead of saying from the start, no, you are weak and cowardly, you can't do anything. It would be sort of lame of God to say from the start, sort of inconsistent with his character as we see in the Bible, but rather that we see that God is one who wants to enable us to be active and engaged in what he's doing, in who we are and who we've been made to be. So from this definition, I'm going to move into what things that the Bible says. And I noticed that quite often it says, take courage. And I sort of found this to be interesting, just linguistically, because it makes courage, and while courage is a noun, it makes it sound like it's something that you like have next to your keys as you walk out the door, where it's like, oh, make sure you take your courage with you, that it's something that you can like pick up and bring with you. And I think, actually, as we go through some verses in the Bible, we'll see that this is actually kind of true, that there's an element of this is a gift that is offered to us by God. It's something that God stretches out before us and says, here, you can have this courage. You have to take it. You have to take it with you. That it's not sort of a genetic quality that just, you know, naturally some of us are more courageous than others, because it's how we're wired, but rather that it's something that God gives us. It's something that we can receive from him, which means, conversely, that it's something that we have to use. That's the trick with gifts from God. He doesn't like want them, you know, lined up on our shelf so that we can brag about them. He wants us to use them and engage them. You might be noticing a theme so far. So we have to take courage. And what we see is that we can take courage because of who God is and who he's demonstrated himself to be. We're going to go through these verses and see that from these verses in the Bible, God demonstrates something about himself, or he demonstrates something about us. And it's from that place that we can take courage. I came up with a number of things. So bear with me. It involves lots of clicking because I got fancy. So we can take courage from being forgiven. This is from Matthew. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, take courage, son, your sins are forgiven. That we can take courage in going before Jesus to be healed of our sin, to be healed of our injuries, to be healed of the things that have wounded us over the course of our lives, that we can go before Jesus
hoping and in faith that he will heal us, and knowing that in courage, when our sins are forgiven, when we are made whole before God, that we can have courage. And the reason for this is, oftentimes, when I'm sort of thinking about myself, and, you know, the day that I've had, if I've had a particularly rough day, and sometimes my attitude is, you know, Liz, you really screwed up again this time. You know, you just can't get it right. You keep making the same mistakes. How can you possibly expect to be any better? I think we all sometimes have that voice in our head of just, you know, there's no place to go up from here. But in going before Jesus, when he says, take courage, your sins are forgiven, it's in that moment that we become a new person. That I'm not sort of the Liz who can't get it right, I'm the Liz who is loved by God. That's where I can take courage from, that my identity doesn't come from the things that I do or that I don't do, it comes from who God has named me to be. And if there isn't a greater place to take courage from, you know, well, tell me, I'd like it. that we have this element of we can take courage from being forgiven by being made new and whole and loved and beautiful by God. That we can take courage from trusting God and hoping in him. So from Psalm 31, David writes, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord." Now I really love the Psalms, because David's pretty honest about what he's feeling all the time. It's a good model for me, especially. And you see David throughout the course of this psalm where he is in a tough place, like he's in a battle, and he's calling out to God for help. But during the course of the psalm, he sort of starts out like anxious and fearful, and as he identifies who God is and the characters of God, his attitude changes, that he calls God a rock, a fortress, a guide, a protector. He calls him true. He identifies that God loves him, and that God is good. That in knowing God and knowing his character and who he is, we can actually trust that he is who he says he is. It encourages us to step out in courage and in faith and then receive courage from him in the moment, sort of the paradox of living as a Christian. But that we also see that we can hope that things will change, that things will be better. Since we have such a hope, we're very bold. This is from 2 Corinthians, and it's talking about when we've been given a new life in the Spirit, that again, things are different, that things are changed, that we can trust and hope that God is who he says he is. And if he is who he says he is, then yes, we can step out in courage and in faith. That we can take courage from being filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This is from 2 Timothy 1:7. And then this verse, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. That in reaching out to God, something else that he gives us is his Holy Spirit living within us. The same Holy Spirit, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, comes and lives with us. And that enables us to live lives of power. That the Holy Spirit speaks within us against all of the lies that we've internalized or that we hear that we cannot do something that God has called us to do. That we are too weak, that we are too fearful. The Holy Spirit just replaces this sort of core spirit of fear and of anxiety and nervousness and gives us instead a spirit of love and of power and of courage, that we no longer need to act out of our own strength, but out of the strength of God. We get to partner with God in the world. And that enables us to speak out boldness, that it's not sort of this internal thing that's going on, but it means that we can be honest with where our courage comes from, that we can call out to God when we need help in boldness, that we can take courage from the Holy Spirit. We can take courage from God's promise to be with us, that God promises to be with us. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
that God has promised to be with us. The God of the universe who came to earth in Jesus has promised to be with us forever, that he will not forsake us or abandon us, that he knows us and wants us to be with him, that he is with us and fights on our behalf, and that in that there's no reason to fear. There's no better ally to have. And we can take courage from knowing that the one who is with us, the Lord, is greater than whatever enemy that we have. Last week we talked a little bit about the devil and that enemy, but sometimes the enemy is the projector up here who doesn't seem to function in the right way, or it's a professor, or it's a colleague. That God is greater than whatever sort of enemy that comes against you. That the Bible says, be strong and courageous. God says this, for the one who is with us is greater than the one with him. With him is only an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. That this is a promise that God has for us, that he is with us, and that he is stronger than whatever enemy it seems we have against us. That we can take courage from being sure that God is sovereign over the battles. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight. This is from 2 Samuel, and I find that, I'm going to interject with a personal story here, because I find that whenever someone tells me something like this, I sort of want to tell them to leave me alone, because I'm a very stubborn and sometimes sassy lady, and so whenever someone's like, you know, buck up, I'm like, okay, well, no, I'm not going to do that. You don't know what I'm going through right now. But I found that actually as I've tested this to be true, that it is true. That God is with me in my struggle against depression. That God is with me in the battle that my family has as it sort of dissolves and is rebuilt by God. That God is with me in this battle, that he is sovereign over it, which is difficult for me to understand, that he is aware of the battle that I'm under, and that he is with me in the midst of it. The thing that is good about our God is that he doesn't leave us there. He's not sort of like, have fun with that battle, like, good luck at the end, but rather that God is with us in the midst of us, that he's with us fighting for us in ways that we don't even understand. And that the battle is not bigger than he is, and it's not bigger than we are, but that God is with us in it. That's from 2 Samuel. That we can take courage through prayer. Psalm says, on the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. Prayer is one of those funny things, at least for me, where I sort of take it for granted. By which I mean, I don't consider who I'm praying to. You know, I know I'm praying to God, but the fact that the God who created me is listening to me is amazing. And that when I call, he answers me, that he hears me when I call, first of all. You know, I used to think when I was growing up, I wouldn't pray, or the first time I prayed, I was like, God, I know you're doing a lot of things right now. You're kind of busy. But, you know, if you could help a sister out, that would be great. This was when I was, like, 17. And I didn't understand that, you know, God is busy, but he has time for each one of us. That's how God operates, that he is listening to us. That Isaiah says that he's listening even before we call out. That he's answering even before we speak. That this is the God that we have. And we can take courage that, again, the God of the universe takes time to listen to us. That he's there for us and with us. And this is from a psalm. And we can take courage from the examples of others. That most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, this is Paul speaking, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. That oftentimes, I mean, isn't it true that when you see someone act courageously, it sort of lights a little fire in your heart and you're like, oh, maybe I should try doing that. Like, that seems like a really good idea. Or it sort of conflicts with your sensibility of, like, what you can and can't do. That seems to be more the case for me. But that with looking at how other people are acting courageously, that we have hope that one can act courageously, that courage is in fact something that God has for us, something that we can encounter in a place where we can live and exist with God. So we can take courage. We can take courage in the fact that we are forgiven by God. We can take courage trusting that he is who he says he is, that he is for us. We can hope that God will continue to act, continue to be with us, that he will restore things that are broken in our lives and in the world, that we can take courage in the power of the Holy Spirit who lives with us, that we can take courage in the promise of God that he is who he says he is, that he will not leave us or abandon us. We can take courage in the fact that God is greater than any enemy that we would have, that we can take courage that God is sovereign over every battle that we face, and we can take courage in the examples of faith that we see around us, that we can take courage, that we have to ask for it sometimes, that we have to ask God to provide courage for us. We have to ask him to help us. And as I was praying last week, sort of about what God might want to say, which for me is an act of courage, asking God to speak for me, it's sort of like, well, maybe I want that, but if God says something I don't like, I have to listen, and it requires a little bit of courage for me. But I was sort of asking him, you know, what do people need to hear? And the first thing that came to mind was this picture. And I was thinking, because we've used this as sort of our emblem of what courage is, and I think, like, if you're going to show a picture of what courage is, there's really no better picture than this, you know, some guy, like, leaping off of what I presume is a rock cliff into the ocean. You know, it's just, like, pretty iconic for courage. But I was thinking, like, with this guy, I don't belong there. You know, in this picture, I can't quite visualize myself there. You know, exactly. You're imagining this. That's why you're laughing. So it just doesn't seem right for me that this isn't something that I do, except so I work for an organization. It's a youth ministry, and we have a property on Martha's Vineyard, and I actually jump off bridges a lot. I'm in that picture. So we jump off bridges at Focus with the kids. And it's fun. So I can't say that I don't have courage to jump off of things, but I think there's a deeper thing that speaks to me here. So the reason why I'm showing you this picture is and it says Smitty's Big Day, is because I'm going to show you a profile in courage. My parents had that JFK book on their shelves, but Smitty should be in there. So we had this retreat before I came on staff with Focus. And was sort of a, hey, welcome to the people you're working with, and let's introduce ourselves. So there was a lot of forced bonding. I don't know if you've ever been on those sorts of retreats. We didn't take kindly to it, actually. But one of the things that we had to do is everyone had to choose an activity. They had to come up with an activity that demonstrated who they were to everyone else, and everyone had to do it. And my friend Shannon, he decided that we were going to go bridge jumping. Because he is sort of the outdoorsy, courageous type. And we were like, okay, a lot of us didn't want to do it. You know, bridge jumping isn't sort of like, oh, you know, I've got some free time, I'm going to go jump off a bridge for me. But I'll do it, you know, I'll do it. And, but my friend Elizabeth was very nervous about it. And in looking at this picture, you know, you might think, like, Elizabeth is this one, the little green circle. That's actually someone, that's Alexandra. You might think she's the most courageous because she's in the water first. You know, oftentimes our perception of what courage is like the first one to do it, they're the most courageous. Alexandra just jumps off bridges, you know, left and right. Don't worry, this is safe. This is a safe thing that we do. And you might think that it's Shannon because it was his idea to do it in the first place. And, you know, he's got some style to him as he's jumping off this bridge with this arc that Shannon, again, jumps off bridges quite a bit. But the person that I think who was most courageous and most exemplary of what it means to be courageous is this girl here. That's Elizabeth Smith, also known as Smitty. Now, Smitty is clinging to the railing for dear life. It took her like maybe 20 minutes to climb over. She's shaking the whole time and saying, you know, this is not a thing I can do. I can't do this. Why are we here? And we all jump and we look up and we see that Smitty is still standing there in the exact same place. And she sort of is talking herself through, is this something I can do? She sees that we've done it and that it's safe, that she's not going to perish after jumping into the ocean from this bridge, but that she's terrified. But the thing that's best about this story is that as Smitty jumps, she eventually jumps, she exclaims as she's falling into the ocean, "Lord, help me!" And then splash. It was like, it was just the most perfect thing that could have happened. And then this day was is still now referred to as Smitty's big day. But what I love about this picture of courage is that it's proportional to who we are. It's proportional to who we are, that there isn't sort of like, we've all got to be that guy who's jumping off the ledge into the ocean and look beautiful. You know, that courage is proportional to who we are, the fear that we're facing, how God has made us, and how God is with us. But that as we have a situation of where courage is needed, that we get to invoke the name of God. You know, Smitty yells, "Lord, help me." And she's serious about it. You know, it's not a joke as she's falling into the water, but she's actually asking for God to be with her so that she might survive. And I feel like with situations that involve real courage, that that's actually what we need to be doing, that we need to call out to God and say, you know, what is the bridge that I need to jump off of, figuratively speaking, and invite him to help us, to show us how we need to be courageous, to give us courage so that we can jump. But also what I love about this is that it's in the context of community. I feel like oftentimes we don't really look at sort of what it means to be courageous versus what it means to be foolish or stupid when God is absent. You know, like if I run out into the street, that's not necessarily courageous, that's just dumb. Like that's putting myself at risk. But within community, that it's not just sort of like whatever idea seems good to me, but that we can test things with one another. That courage no longer becomes sort of this like inward battle of my own, but it becomes something that revolutionizes me, which could revolutionize you and you and like all these sorts of things. That it becomes this dynamic element within a community. That courage isn't just sort of like this one dude jumping off. However, we need that too. We need all of it. But when I was asking God, what do people need to hear? What do they need to know? I felt like he was saying, you are courageous. You know, let ECV know that they are already courageous. It's like, that's sort of a weird thing to say for like a what is courage talk. It's like, come on, God, don't you understand the question I'm asking? So I asked again, and this is what I heard again. And I feel like the reason why we need to know that we are already courageous is that it comes back to this matter of identity that we started with, this sort of fear that we are weak and cowardly, that we don't quite understand ourselves as fully loved and fully able to act out of a place of courage because of how God loves us, that we are already courageous, that sitting here in this room desiring to encounter God requires courage. That the various things that we do in our day-to-day life actually require courage, that we've demonstrated that. And again, that there's proportional courage, that there's courage to get out of bed in the morning for some people, and there's courage to plant a church in New Haven, that there's courage to invite a friend to come to ECV, or there's courage in just asking them if they're okay, if there's anything that you can do for them. That you've already demonstrated courage. But the thing that's amazing about already demonstrating courage is that you can do it more. Something that I've been doing lately is sort of understanding that living a courageous life means sort of like living it out and testing things. I'm sort of a slow learner and a reluctant learner. That's why I know grad school might not be in my future. But that with God, we have this opportunity to test things. That I've seen
you know, God, I'm gonna be honest with my mom about how I'm listening to you and waiting for you to tell me what to do next, which opened up into a great conversation about what I believe instead of being fearful that she might reject me for saying I'm waiting on God, which is sort of a crazy thing to say. That I've seen that in listening to God about sort of what students that I have to talk to, he's really opened up conversations, that it's just being present and open to what God might have me do. And sometimes it's very small things, like just making myself available. But what I've seen is that God has honored every risk that I've taken. And that every time I've said, God, I can't do this. I can't do this right now. Like giving this talk, for example, that God has said, you can do it, you know, you can do this. I will tell you what to say. I will be with you. And then it's not my name on the line, but it's God's. And that God defends his name, that this is an opportunity for us to engage, that we are already courageous. We have already demonstrated courage, but it's a matter of living it out. Can we live it out? So the question becomes, what is courage for you? What would be an act of courage that you can take today? What would be something that you need from God in order to be courageous, in order to take a risk for him? This is sort of the question that I want you guys to think about leading into worship, to ask God about, how do you want me to be courageous? Or, I don't want to be courageous, God. We have freedom to say that to God and expect him to respond to us, that we can say, I'm not ready just yet, that we can be honest before him, but that we can ask for courage. We can take courage, and that we know that we are already courageous. And so moving into a time of worship, I want you to consider how you could be courageous just today, just through the end of ECV. For me, when I first came here, it actually required a lot of courage. I came from a Catholic background where we don't sort of make up prayers as we go along, like point one. Second point, we don't raise our hands when we're singing. That would just look silly. But for me, I've learned that it requires courage to really want to encounter God during worship. So ask God to give you courage to encounter it or step into it now. That sometimes it requires courage to receive prayer, to go over and ask someone to pray for you for something, to admit that you're weak, that you need help. That's a thing for me as well. To worship without restraint, to receive courage, that we can ask God for any number of these things today. So as the musicians come up and we move into a time of communion, I just want to encourage you that if you feel as though God is speaking to you about courage on any level, from I'm offended even, to press into that and to ask God, what is going on? How do I need your help, God? How do I need to encounter you today? What is it that you want to give me? What opportunity of courage have you put before me? That there's this great God who loves us and is for us and wants to change us, and that he's here today. All we have to do is just ask him to encounter us, to open our hearts to him. And as we move into communion, that we would receive the bread and the juice or the wine as an act of courage, as an act of affirmation in our belief in Jesus. That Jesus said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And that is what he has done on the cross. That it doesn't, it sort of upends our sensibilities of who God is and what it means to be courageous. That God has shown courage by coming and revealing himself to us. By enabling us to have a relationship with God. So as we come up for communion, let that be an act of courage as well.